I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Eddie LaVert founded one of the greatest singing groups in R&B history, but the OJs are not the creation he's most proud of. It's his son, Gerald. Following in his father's footsteps, Gerald LaVert exemplified a new generation of R&B classiness. But Gerald died suddenly in November of 2006, his death coming one day after he and his father completed their final collaboration. It's a book about love, fatherhood, family, and friendship. They called it I Got Your Back. Now, Eddie LaVert is out promoting the book without Gerald. Despite a deep sense of loss, he says he happily remembers the good times.
Some of my greatest moments, some of my most creative moments, some of my most joyous moments were with him on stage. Some of the freest moments, some of the undescribable moments. This is my kid. And we're up here and we're singing, and in front of thousands of people, I could kiss him, rub his head, and that hug, that father and son hug, that my child hug, my baby hug, and I could do that in front of thousands of people, and then we would laugh about it, and he would get all shy and bashful. And I love those moments. And those moments were, I'm searching for the right words. That was like an adventure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being with him was like an adventure.
Let's talk about you, the book. We're going to talk about Gerald. But the first thing I need to know from you is, because I'm looking at your eyes to see if you got any rest after that performance Tuesday night at the BET Awards. Because that performance that you did with Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, and with Yolanda Adams. It was very touching. It was a tribute to your late son, Gerald. Mm-hmm. As a father, I'm a father too, of a son, actually. How hard was it for you to do that?
In actuality, it was much easier at rehearsal because it was only just me, the orchestra, Patty, Gladys, and Yolanda, and the choir, and a lot of empty chairs out there. Now, when it got for the shooting, and I see all of my contemporaries out there, and they all stand up, and then the fans stand up, it became a very emotional moment for me. I have to say that I had to pull myself together and say, well, okay, this is just another performance. But he's sorely missed by myself and I'm pretty sure a lot of his fans and a lot of my peers are very sympathetic and very, you know, they're standing by me, and they all come up and say, how are you really doing? How are you? And then they'll say, how are you doing? And then they'll say, how are you really doing? Like I'm lying. When I say I'm doing fine. But, you know, every day is a little bit different. Every day is, some days, you know, I feel like I'm getting better and I'm over it. And then it's like this morning, my grandson, Gerald's son, LaMica, he called me to tell me about the show. And he was in pieces, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I didn't get a chance to speak to him over the phone live, but he left me a message. And through his whole message, he was very emotional. He was crying. And as I'm listening to him tell me how great the show was and how much he loved me, and he's just bawling. And then I start bawling. Just listening to it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine until those kind of situations come, and then the gravity of what's going on and what has happened
it hits
comes to me, and I have to pull myself back together.
Well, you know, the book seems to me, from having read it, that this is an opportunity to keep Gerald with you.
Yes, absolutely. And you're the first person that seems to grasp that it's almost like me and him are still doing our thing, and we're working, and I'm out here on the road with him, and we're promoting our new product, our new idea, mm-hmm. and along with the book, we got a CD called Something to Talk About. We're doing, so it's almost like having him next to me, but not, you know, not the physical part, just the great vibe.
Like
great
the spiritual.
Yes, spirit.
As a father of this world famous, you know, group, the OJs, and here comes your son, Gerald, little Gerald, and he's like, Dad, you know, I want to do what you're doing. And I read that you told him, as I would imagine a lot of fathers do, look, son, you know, you're going to get your heart broken if you try to go into this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, I've had a lot of heartbreak in this. I went into the music business thinking that as soon as you cut that first record, you were a hit. And you were famous, and you were getting all of this great money, and everything was okay. 16 years of disappointment, heartache, trials and tribulations, and believing and mourning and praying. You don't wish that on your children.
No, that's right.
Do you understand?
Yes,
you don't want that for your child to go through that kind of thing. And he wanted it, and he didn't want it so much till I had to just cave in and say, okay, man, I'm going to help you do this. But I also had to tell him, now there's no crying in baseball. Don't even try it. you want it? Here it is. But the one thing about him, he was a true worker. He worked at trying to be the best he could be. When I opened the door, they couldn't throw him out the door. I'm going to make this work, and I'm going to do the best I can. All the way up to the time that he passed, he was that kind of person. Almost to his detriment, you know, he was a workaholic.
Can't have you sit here and not talk a little bit about you and the OJs.
Yes,
also,
right.
Because
sure.
One of the things, first of all, what was the greatest moment that you and the OJs had that you remember?
One of the most memorable moments was when we had recorded this album, Ship Ahoy, and we came out to play the Greek Theater, and we were trying to figure out how we could make our show different than most vocal groups, and how we could incorporate the Ship Ahoy and let the people see our vision for recording that song. So we got this Mark Ship, we got some dancers, we got some soundtracks with quips cracking and all of that, and we put on these tattered clothing in order to look like slaves, and we got the smoke, we had the dancers, and we had this the projector that made the ship look like it was bigger than life. We wanted to show the trip from Africa to America. That to me was a great moment for the group, because we stepped over into another arena as far as R&B groups are concerned.
The book is fantastic to read. I enjoyed it, and your concerts were really good. But I got to tell you about one of your concerts that I attended, and I've attended many, ended with what I still consider the all-time best ending that a concert ever had. That's when Money was the number one. You know what? I'll get ready. See you smiling already. At the end of the concert, what did you guys do?
The Money.
You threw the Money.
The Money.
The Money to everybody in the audience. It was great.
We used to have the Money taken up to the top of the ceiling of the arena, put in a net. And when we got to For the Love of Money, they would release all these dollar bills with our picture on it. And the people would just go.
They went crazy.
They'd go, absolutely they nuts.
Because we weren't sure if it was real money or not at first.
Yeah, right. When they found out it was not real money, it was sort of disappointing, but they
but
loved it.
They knew they had a good time.
That's right. That's right.
Eddie LaVert, thank you, man,
for coming in.
Eddie LaVert's book, I Got Your Back, was written in collaboration with Lia Beth LaFleur and his late son, Gerald.